basically towards the end of last year, I just felt the sense, and then I chatted to some other people and they were like, we feel a sense too, that we should dig in deeper into prayer and just press deeper into prayer. And so that's what we're going to do over the next 8 weeks. What's to say about that? I'll talk a little bit more about that. So today what we're going to do is I'm going to just kind of yarn a bit, and then we're gonna watch maybe 5 minutes of a part of the videos that we're gonna look at, or the series, on the stories that Pete Gregg tells, and then I'm gonna give you guys 3 reasons why we should pray and why we pray. Just gonna kind of go at it, kind of old school. 3.7. Awesome. So I've been jamming the classics recently. I've been really jamming the classics, classic Christian tunes. So if, some people here would be involved. Heart of Worship's been the main one. Heart of Worship by Matt Redman. Anyone know that song?
Yeah.
Love that. It's a classic. In the chorus, it kind of goes, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus." And it's always weird reading out the lyrics, by the way. But part of the thing with it is this desire, and this really heart of it is to kind of go back to the core, the simplicity of what that thing is. And that worship becomes this thing where we've taken on and kind of added all these things too, which is awesome. But also in some ways, we want to strip it back to what the core of this thing is. And I think that's also what we need to do with prayer. And we need to kind of go back to the core of what that is, remind ourselves, strip away the kind of the muck that's gotten added to it as we've kind of journeyed along with this, and come back to what the heart of it is and the core of what these things is. And for many of us, we've kind of gone on different journeys with this. We call this deconstruction, we call this maturing in the faith, we call this many different things. But we also need to know what it looks like when we've peeled it back to the core of what it is. What is the essence of what we mean when we say we pray? And so this is what I'm really excited about doing this course together with. It's kind of peeling back the simplicity of what it means to pray, and then remembering what it is when we do that. All good?
Yeah.
So for some of us, rethinking prayer is something we just kind of put into too hard basket. We kind of realize that we've added some stuff to it. It's like, oh, maybe this is not great theology. And then we're kind of like, oh, I guess I'll just put this aside for now, which is awesome, but this is a great time to do that. And Pete Gregg has this amazing quote in his book. It goes like this: Every pilgrim gets a stone in their shoe eventually. You wake up one morning thinking, is this really all there is to knowing the creator of 100 billion galaxies? You read the book of Acts and ask, why isn't it like that anymore? Your world falls apart and you desperately need a miracle. You stare up at the stars and feel things bigger than religious language allows. You say to yourself, if this thing's true, there's got to be more power, more mystery, more actual personal experience. And so finally you turn to God, half wondering whether you're any more than half serious, and say, Lord, teach me to pray. And he replies, I thought you'd never ask. And I think it's this beautiful thing as we press into this, and this kind of question to ask again and again, Lord, teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. And for some of us, maybe that's not your background, and maybe you come to faith recently, and prayer is maybe the opposite. It feels like this real big, scary thing to do. And one of the reminders and one of the awesome things about this course is how it reminds us to keep it simple, and that for me, I know that the most simplest, at the most simplest core of my prayer life is just 3 words, Jesus help me. And that's a prayer I pray over and over again, and often God replies with, not just as opposed to slightly longer, but be still and know that I am God. And that's often a really, really core refrain, a really core conversation I have with God. Jesus, help me be still and know that I am God. And so we're going to listen to a little bit about this from this video, Matthew Gregg. It's kind of one of those interview style things that I kind of half like and half don't like. But he's telling a story kind of talking about keeping prayer simple, and I think it's a really beautiful story. So let's just do that, and then we'll kick back in.
When our son Danny was really little, he got to that stage where he wanted to be able to write, but he couldn't.
Okay.
And so he would scribble little bits of paper, and we would encourage him. So he he'd say, look what I've written, and you'd say, great job, it's like Shakespeare, But then one time he did this, and then he said, Dad, read it. And, you stare at it, and think, obviously it's nonsense, it doesn't make any sense. But what I found was I could look at his face, and as his dad, I could read his face. I knew the kind of day he'd had, the weird other things that are going on in his head, the way he's feeling. I probably even see his dinner on his face. And so I guessed at what the scribbles meant. And as I read his scribbles, he was there nodding, saying, you know, good job, Dad, good reading, well done. And I said, thank you, because it really was some of the best reading I'd ever done. And I do think prayer is a lot like that. We kind of obsess about getting the right words, the right techniques, but it doesn't impress God. Our Father in heaven reads our faces, our hearts. He knows the kind of day we've had, the weird little things that go on in our head. And he interprets our prayers. And that's exactly what it actually says in Romans chapter 8, one of the great passages about prayer in the Bible. Mm. Starting at verse 26 of Romans 8. Listen to this and think of that image of Danny with his scribbles. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Do you ever feel like that?
Absolutely.
We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So imagine the next time you're trying to pray, you don't know if you're getting through, you don't know if you're quite articulating what's really going on. The Holy Spirit is interceding and groans for you at that moment. And he who searches our hearts, so imagine me searching the heart of my son, your Father in heaven, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So that's just a beautiful description of it's not about the scribbles, it's about the heart.
I love that. It's just so...
Yeah, that's I just thought it was a really beautiful snippet of reminding us of the simplicity of prayer, and that God knows our hearts, and that like sometimes this can feel really daunting, this idea of prayer, but actually it is the simplest form that God actually, you know, intercedes for us and speaks to us in ways that we already know how. So I just kind of want to, off the back of that, talk about, I've been reflecting about it as I was in the shower, and I was like, what do I want to speak about? And I'm like, why do we pray? Why do we pray? And there's a whole bunch of reasons why you should pray, so I'm not going to be able to distill that down. And obviously one of the big things is a relationship building thing. Relationship building, as we talk to God, we build relationship with God, and we get to know God more, and God gets to be in our midst as we do that. But I want to start off a different starting point. One of the core reasons we pray is because we live, and I think we know this from pretty much everything that's been said today, we pray because we know we live in a broken world that needs more Jesus in our lives and the neighborhood. So my point one is we pray because the world is shit. Like, it really is. Like, we pray because we don't have to look far to see how broken the world is that we live in is. And so as humans, we so easily live into the brokenness of the world, and in this way, I guess, sin. And in doing so, we sin by kind of damaging and perverting our relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, with nature. And that's the kind of, fundamental definition of what we mean by sin. And so prayer becomes this place where we're able to lament and recognize the brokenness of this world. We're thinking about all the chat about the Gaza ceasefire pilgrimage and the prayer that happens in that space and lamentation of that. And also believe in the restorative power of Jesus as we pray. So it's a both and. So this is kind of like, I was trying to read this out because we can often like try to pull in two different directions of what prayer is. Is it this kind of contemplative thing where we sit and know more of who we are and know who more God is and kind of sit in this kind of contemplative prayer, which is yes. But also, we also believe that the Holy Spirit does powerful things. And I think that's one of the awesome things about what we do in this space. We believe both these things can be true and both these things are true. And when we pray, we do this thing in a relationship with God, but we also believe that God moves into our neighborhood and moves into our spaces. Yeah, my favorite quotes on Pete Gregg. Pete Gregg's getting all the airtime right now. On intercession, on prayer for others in the movement of God, he says this thing. He says, if I receive a terminal diagnosis, please don't send someone who knows how to stare at a candle in silence. I'm going to need someone who knows how to lay hold of the promises of God, exercise the authority in Christ, and shake the heavens on my behalf. Which I think is a crack-up quote. Please don't send someone with a candle. But this idea is that not the candle isn't important, but we have to recognize that the fullness of prayer and the fullness of God is embodied in these things. Yeah. And so the deep Anglo-Catholic contemplative mystical tradition, awesome, awesome, awesome. And then also the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit to move things, also awesome. And that's why we pray, because we recognize the brokenness in the world can shift in both these ways. So point one, we pray because the world is shit. We good so far? We pray because the world is shit. If I receive a terminal diagnosis, please don't send me someone who knows how to stare at a candle in silence. I'm going to need someone who knows how to lay hold of the promises of God, exercise their authority in Christ, and shape the heavens on my behalf. No worries. We believe in the power of prayer because we believe in the goodness of God's kingdom, right? That's the other part of it, right? That's the other part of the understanding of this idea of prayer. God's kingdom, her kingdom, is one that brings ultimate restoration. And when we talk about the kingdom, we talk about this idea of being here but not yet. Everyone heard of that? Kind of here but not yet? This idea that the inauguration, the beginning of God's kingdom, came with what Jesus has done on the cross and what we commemorate on Easter, and what Jesus has done through his life and resurrection. His whole life is important in this. But also that it's going to be kind of, it's finalized and it's finished when Christ comes again. So there's this eschatological end times kind of idea of it. And so what we believe in is that we have the kingdom here, but it's not quite here yet. And so when we see Jesus and when we see miracles and through prayer, what we're seeing is glimpses of God's kingdom. Glimpses of what God's kingdom looks like. God's kingdom of restoration, of peace, of justice. And one that's of hope, essentially. And so when we pray, we actually are asking God to, one, in the contemplative sense, show us where we see glimpses of God's kingdom. That's also known as gratitude, right? Where have I seen your work, Jesus, today? Where have I seen your work? Where have I seen your kingdom in the faces of my friends, in the faces of my neighbors, and the things that you've done for me today? That's gratitude, the seeing of God's kingdom. And then we also pray for, you know, intercession, for healing, for power, for Jesus to move through our neighborhoods in ways that Jesus hasn't moved before, for peace and for justice. Because we want to pray for God to continue to unveil her justice and kingdom, her kingdom of justice and love in our neighborhoods and the places we are in. Does that make sense? Making sense so far? This idea is that we pray because the world is shit, point one. And point two, we pray because Jesus and God's kingdom is great. Like, that's the juxtaposition that we have when we pray. We understand these things to be the context we pray into. It's a simple message, but I think it's important. And the last thing is that prayer is essential because it reorients ourselves towards Jesus. Yeah, last week I spoke a little bit about identity and the idea that in our practices, what our practices of prayer, of fasting, all those, that these practices do is that we understand more and we adopt more, we understand more and become more in the image of who we are created to be, in the image of God. And we know, I think we all know this, like I think this has been probably spoken about a million times before in different church circles, but the idea that in relationship with one another and your friends and your friendship with one another, you grow to adopt things that people like. I've talked about my story of enjoying basketball because of Jacob and other friends, which has become a mild obsession. And many other things. There was one stage where I did everything as May did for a whole year, which was exciting. But you know, like when we're in a relationship with one another, we begin to adopt the things that each other like, or you know, things that each other care about, right? And the same way we spend time in prayer of God, we begin to align our dreams with that of God, right? And this is important because the world is shit and because God's kingdom is great, and we actually have a choice to live into one of these realities. And when we pray, we begin to align ourselves with God's kingdom and God's desires for justice, for peace, for love in the way that God is seeking for that to happen. And so we reprioritize, we shift, we reorient ourselves to see where God's kingdom is happening, to understand the messiness of the world we live in, but also to understand where God's kingdom is breaking through and work towards that. So really encourage you. I think that's just kind of like next week, actually kind of going back to the 1 Corinthians thing with Andy is a bit of a weird schedule, but it's kind of a preview to what we're going to dive into, this idea of prayer and this this concept of prayer, and as we delve deep into it, just really encourage you guys to take hold of this stuff, and take the opportunity to lean deeper into our understanding of what prayer is, the core of what it is, to lean back on the simplicity of prayer, of what of the understanding of what Pete Greger is saying that God's interceding for you already, I think God just wants us to sit with her and sit with her and talk with her, and that there's this beauty in this relationship that there's no words that I can say, that's gonna be eloquent enough to kind of wow God, right? This is the reality of it, right? I pride myself as a person who can speak really good words, but there's no limit of that. It's gonna be God's wow, so amazing, you know? It's a level to which my kind of talking is kind of scribbling that Pete Greger's son has done. In that way, right? In the bigness of that. But God is also someone who knows so deeply who we are and what we are yearning for and what we are asking for. And so I just really encourage, if you're in that camp where it's this is really scary, how do I pray? One, ask God, how do I pray? And two, there's a simplicity to it, and that God is not looking out for these specific rules for this prayer. Yeah. One of the funny things, right, it's such a slightly delve thing. John Calvin wrote this whole five rules of prayer thing. But it's fifth rules that there are no rules, which I love people when they write lists like that. It's my favorite type of list. But I think that's tells us the essentiality of it. There's actually no rules of prayer, and we want it to, God just wants to sit with us, and I think that's really important. So prayer, point one, we pray because the world is shit. Point two, we pray because Jesus and his kingdom is great. And point three, when we pray, we reorient ourselves more and more towards God's kingdom. Jesus, you know our hearts so deeply. You know how much we want to make things what they're not. And just, Lord, we just pray as a season, we deepen in our desire to pray, and deepen in our understanding of prayer, deepen in our prayer life with you. Jesus, we just pray, come Lord Jesus, intercede on our behalf, speak to us, teach us how to pray, teach us deeply how to pray, so that we may know you better and be able to see where your kingdom is just happening and where your kingdom is unfolding. Thank you for this crew. Thank you for your time. Jesus, let me pray. Amen.